Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in case you haven't noticed, it's the weekend again. This one's even a holiday weekend, so a lot of us have tomorrow off. But come to Tuesday, we'll be right back at it. Right back to the schedule demands, calendar demanding your time, places to go, things to do, deadlines to meet, sleep to miss out on, all until the next weekend. Most of us love the weekends. We love those precious days off. Of course, when you look at what we do with our days off, you might wonder why we call them that. Sure, we don't go to work on those days off, but they're hardly days off. There's practices, there's games, house projects, lawn work, grocery shopping, cleaning, laundry. There's all kinds of things waiting to fill our Saturdays and our Sundays. And it's not that these are bad things or that we shouldn't spend our time doing them, but I do sometimes wonder why we get so excited to finally get to Friday, when oftentimes Saturday and Sunday aren't much different than the rest of the week. We're pretty good at filling up our times of rest with stuff to do. We do it on our weekends. We do it on our vacations. We fill up our trips of time off with adventure parks and museums and landmarks. And again, it's not that we should not do those things. It's just a point that we sometimes have a knack for working just as hard during our time off as we do at our job. So much so that we often say things like, we need a vacation after our vacation. We find ourselves exhausted at the end of a weekend, more so than we do in the middle of a work week. It seems like, as people, we tend to struggle with rest. Maybe that's because Satan knows rest is a gift from God, so he attacks it. He knows it was part of our Lord's design for creation, that God spent 6 days creating, and then on the seventh day, he rested. Rest is so much part of God's design for this world that he included it in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Sabbath, as you probably already know, that's the Hebrew word for rest. So that if you translate the commandment a little more fully, it says, remember the day of rest by keeping it holy. And in part, our confessions say, in part, this rest was instituted by God so that the people in Israel and their animals might have time to recover, not be weakened by endless labor. Now, it's true, in their zeal for keeping God's law, the Jews began to understand rest only in terms of physical activities. And by the time Jesus was born, the Pharisees had outlined a series of rules, regulations for those who considered themselves serious about God and his word. They had a policy manual that detailed what constituted too much work for a Sabbath and what didn't. They wanted to be sure they rested enough to make God happy. So they had rules about the proper way to prepare food so that it wasn't considered too much work. Rules about how to wash your hands so that it wasn't considered too much work. They invented a multitude of rules and regulations to guide people in their effort to rest the right way. But all of it missed the point. And that's Jesus' point in the gospel reading today. He poses a question to demonstrate that God's intent on the Sabbath day was never to merely forbid certain types of activity. Jesus shows that even the Pharisees would work on the Sabbath if the situation called for it. Even they were not so hard-hearted as to leave their child in a pit on the Sabbath day rather than working to get him out. Jesus demonstrates that the real issue is not ultimately what kind of work is or isn't being done on the Sabbath. It's an issue of what kind of rest. See, the Sabbath is about the presence of rest, not the absence of work. That's the key to understanding the Sabbath of God. So don't forget the second part of the commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We know that Sabbath means rest, but what about holy? What does holy mean? How does one keep something holy? Well, according to Paul, things are made holy by the word of God and by prayer. So if we rephrase the commandment, retranslate it even more, it says, remember the day of rest by keeping it filled with the word of God and prayer. That's the purpose of Sabbath rest, not just stopping us from being busybodies, but to get us to sit and hear the Word of God, to get us to spend time in communion with Him and in fellowship with one another. Sabbath rest is all about God's Word. And so here, as we gather together for Sabbath rest today, God's Word is exactly what fills this place. And how easily we're tempted to turn even this into a place of work. If you ask yourself, why am I here today? And if the answer is because you're trying to keep God happy by giving Him an hour or so every Sunday before you go back to ignoring Him the rest of the week, well, if that's our attitude, then we're focused on the work of the Sabbath rather than on the gift of the rest. Because this place, this gathering, this worship, this is our rest. This is the place where our Lord comes to us in His Word to feed us, to nourish us, to strengthen us in our faith, and to equip us for the work to be done in our vocations. 6 days a week, our lives are living sacrifices, characterized by working for God, by working for those He has placed around us, for our children, co-workers, for our parents, for our neighbors. But today, in this room, this is a room of rest. This is the place where God works for you. Doesn't mean we don't do anything in worship, of course not. When the Lord opens our lips, our mouths will declare His praise. But it all begins with Him. Sabbath rest is the time where God works on us. The problem with coming into our Lord's presence to offer Him our own best efforts and intentions is that they're never good enough. We often think too highly of our own accomplishments. It makes us smug, makes us self-righteous before God. Jesus compares approaching God with our own efforts to showing up at a wedding reception and sitting down at the head table, a place that's obviously reserved for the bridal party. What would you think if you walked into your wedding reception and saw your head table filled with your casual acquaintances from work? Or if you paid for your child's wedding and saw random college friends sitting in grandma's seat? If we take it upon ourselves to sit in the place of honored guests, uninvited to do so, then we will be humbled and humiliated in front of all the guests when the wedding coordinator taps us on the shoulder and asks us to move. It would be embarrassing if it happened at a wedding or a social event, and catastrophic when it comes to eternal life. So Jesus wants us to acknowledge that the problem with our efforts is that they are never enough. And it would not only be silly, but a bit arrogant to place them before God as if He should be impressed by them. It's not that they're useless. It's just that they're useless for our salvation. But even there, as we walk down that path, if all that we get out of Sabbath rest is that we're being forced to come to grips with our own shortcomings, we're still only thinking about the absence of work, not the presence of rest. Our Lord wants us to think about Sabbath rest as a gift. He wants us to see ourselves as the man healed of dropsy on the Sabbath. Because there is work to be done on the Sabbath, it's just not ours to do. Jesus is the one who works on the Sabbath. He does the healing. He comes to us in His Word to forgive our sins. He feeds us from His altar. He comes and brings our inability into focus so that life and immortality can be brought to light. He comes into our lives, lives scarred by our own personal failures, by our own unhappiness. He comes and He brings healing. He brings restoration. It's like the rejuvenation that you feel at the end of an actually restful night's sleep, or after a particularly calm weekend, particularly nice week away. Our Lord comes to us in our time of rest to strengthen us for lives of service waiting for us outside these doors. Yes, there is work to do for us and for the world. And so when we leave this place, we look for how we can best serve our Lord by loving and serving the people He places in our lives. But that will be exhausting. Not so here. Not in this room. Not this morning. This is your rest. This is your Sabbath. Your opportunity to be filled with the life-giving Word of God, which prepares you for the rest of the week, for the rest of your life, even for the life to come. This rest is a gift to you, while Jesus heals you from whatever scars the world has left on you. So may God grant you such healing today. May He give us hearts that rest in His Word. May He give us lives that reflect the healing we've been given in the Sabbath rest, as we live as his salt and as his light and take his hope into the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.